Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 9th of December, recording at 10 p.m. And that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Not many. This was a very quiet day, but quietly steady. Global stock markets were mostly a little bit firmer in Asia, predominantly a little bit firmer in Asia. An exception was India, which has been underperforming recently. European markets were mostly slightly steadier. Best gain IBEX, that's interesting, Spain, because it's been one of the weaker markets in recent months. If we look at the Americas, Brazil, which has been a soft spot in the last couple of weeks, down a little bit further, less than 0.5%. Wall Street closed with fractional gains in the S&P. And NASDAQ. Long-dated government bonds, well, they've been hammered recently, but we had a little bit of a bounce back today, quite slight, but these markets are oversold. I'm talking about the bond futures now, so the yields are a little bit overextended on the upside if you take the reciprocal. The dollar, quietly steady, but the emphasis on the quiet. And precious metals, well, they having failed at their initials, following new highs for gold, silver, and palladium, the setback, which started really with Tuesday's downside key day reversals, and brought them back to they didn't hold at their highs just before the latest rise. But they've steadied in a trading range region of possible support. Industrial metals, again, they were steady yesterday, but eased a wee bit here today. Not much going on. Well, that's pretty much the case right across the board. Now, one exception, lumber, limit up, which I'm glad to see with a long position there. But the limit's small. It's $10 on something that closed tonight at $283.70. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the action is certainly predominantly bullish for stock markets and for commodities. Now, remember, it wasn't all that long ago that a lot of people were talking about Wall Street falling back and going to at least 940 on the S&P 500 index, and perhaps going all the way back down to test its lows. It seems strange, but that's true. Only a few months ago, there were a number of people still saying that. Well, the S&P 500 index reached a new closing high this evening. That's at 1,233. It's up 10.5% on the year. That's in US dollars, of course. And the NASDAQ index is up over 15% on the year to date. Now, that compares very favorably with a lot of other markets. Brazil, for instance, which is only up 1.23%. The FTSE, which is up 4.5% on the year today. The DAX, which is up 7.44%. It's only Europe's top performing market that I'm looking at here right now. Sweden, up 23% in all in U.S. dollars, which has outperformed. Japan has come back from the dead with the Nikkei up 8%. And that's at Wall Street again, outperforming the Hang Seng up 5.5% and outperforming Australia up 6.5%. If you want to see some big gainers, then we can look at a few of the smaller South American markets, Chile, Colombia, Peru, all with very solid gains. And in Europe, Jakarta Thailand, and these are up over 50%, 57s, 56%, respectively. And India, which has given up some ground recently, but it's still up 13.38% on the year. That's the Sensex, and the Nifty is up 14%. Let's see, South Korea up 20%. For a so-called bear market, depression, deflationary environment, this is a sucking good performance overall, and I think it's reflected in the performance of most fuller money themes as we approach year end. My biggest disappointment is China to date, and I think that's mostly due to the supply problems, but then there's also been the monetary tightening problems. A lot of people become very concerned about that. I think it tends to be smart management more than anything else, because what China did was get their banks to boost their reserves, often through IPOs or mainly through IPOs, really ahead of a crisis. In other words, I should rephrase that better, to head off a possible crisis. In the West, we saw the crisis, and then the banks had to be rescued by governments. Well, I think China's come up trumps on this one. China does have property price inflation because it pumped a lot of money into the system, as I mentioned also yesterday and in earlier broadcasts. It had been concerned about the risks following the stock market crash back in 2008. So it's pulled some of that liquidity out of the system. It's also concerned about inflation, but most of that is food inflation. You have the CPI running at about 4%, but the food inflation on its own is running at about 10% or above, a little above, in China. It's not targeting an asset prices bubble in the form of equities. Equity valuations are still quite attractive in China. And when will it perform? Well, it's the supply and demand thing, and I'd like to see less supply, and there are good reasons for thinking that we will see less supply coming on stream in the year ahead. I hope so. What about India's recent underperformance? Well, it's a little bit of a concern because we've seen the biggest pullback in the banks index, possibly of the recovery cycle to date. I'd have to check that chart again, but it's certainly bigger than anything that we had seen earlier this year. So that's a little bit of a concern. We're still to the left side of rising 200-day moving averages. I would like to see some demand kick in the not too distant future, in the next couple of months, for instance, with India. In terms of the long term, the big long term story, I think it's very attractive. But you don't have to look very far for concerns in India over the problems of ruling the world's largest democracy, delays, corruption, charges, inefficiencies in terms of how the whole process of governance proceeds. But that big underlying story, in my view, is the intellectual capital that India has. But I don't want to repeat myself. I've mentioned a lot of that before. I think the bottom line here overall is that fuller money themes, with the exception of the underperformance of China, really do. And again, when I say that, I think my third biggest position is in that Atlantis China Healthcare Fund. So that's doing very well. But I also have tracker positions in China, or a tracker position in China, and that's seeing a rather boring performance. I may have to reconsider that in the not too distant future. Now, and a purchase not all that long ago, but China Mobile, that hasn't done anything yet, although the chart pattern is still quite good. So I'm very bullish long term on China, but we do have these short-term question marks. But in terms of global stock markets generally, we still have negative interest rates below the rates of inflation, in other words, and those inflation rates are not alarmingly high, except in a few of the developing progressing stock markets. The mining sector is strong. That's reflecting the global economic recovery, which is moderately good. And moderately good means that it doesn't require a lot of aggressive action by central banks to choke off overheating of the economic engine. And we're still getting a very aggressive stimulus in the weaker economies, and not least the USA, and Japan has been more aggressive recently in terms of its monetary stimulation, and that's resulted in that somewhat weaker Japanese yen that we have seen. I've described bonds as a source of fuel for equity rallies, or funds switching away from bonds, I should say, as investors are less fearful in terms of deflation and depression and more optimistic about recovery and at least moderate growth. And so some money swings away from the fixed interest sector towards equities. And I like the prospects for us in terms of shorting treasury bonds and other long-dated government bonds, Western bonds in particular, on any decent technical rally. Right now, following the sharp sell-off that we've seen over the last few weeks, the Western long-dated government bond markets are a little bit oversold. So they should at least steady in range, and I'd be delighted to see a short covering bounce. I got out of my shorts slightly early. I think the last of them was it Tuesday? So I'd like to see a little bit of a bounce in here, and we may well. But I think that I've said it before, and I think I'll be shorting or often running a short position in the treasuries I've said it, and so I'll repeat it, I think, quite possibly for the rest of my life. We saw a 30-year downward trend in yields. I wouldn't be surprised if we see at least a 20-year upward trend in yields. That doesn't mean they go up every day, of course. They will get some lengthy pullbacks for months and months of ranging, possibly even some years of ranging, but within a long-term sideways to higher cycle for yields, and that means lower prices for the bond futures, which are the way I play it. And in terms of other markets, precious metals ran a little bit ahead of themselves up until this week, Tuesday's keys, capping that, a peak of at least short-term significance, possibly medium term, if you define medium term as a few months, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't pick up again and hit highs sooner than that, some point in the first quarter, as this is a seasonally attractive period, and I can't see any reason why the U.S. dollar should romp higher from here. I think that would require a major stock market fright, which I don't see on the cards. The dollar has been very steady in recent months, and basically that's a calming effect, because people were beginning to worry about a dollar crisis, just as they've worried about a euro crisis, and the euro is a little bit steadier in here, predictably, following the latest paste over, if I can use that expression, Well, I just have, haven't I? But papering over of the sovereign debt problems. But it's a crisis contained for a while, not a crisis resolved, but a crisis contained. Mean that again, that lends a calming effect here generally, which has supported the euro a little bit in here. So we have a benign environment, I feel, overall. Valuations in equities are not excessive. We have steady action in commodity markets, and I think that this is all within a secular bull trend, as I wrote again yesterday and have mentioned on so many occasions. And to me, that's still the biggest risk. Every time I see strategists commenting on what's the biggest risk, they all say protectionism. Well, protectionism is something that in my lifetime, just about everybody is threatened and talked about, but we haven't seen really aggressive protectionism, not like in the 1930s, and I don't think we will. Because I think most people recognize that that's a lose-lose situation. So that's not my biggest concern. My biggest concern remains commodity price inflation. And every day that that's delayed is going to add to the just generally benign environment that we have overall. I'm positioned for a little more commodity price inflation, and if it becomes too strong, I would tailor back, cut back my equity positions somewhat. But a lot of my equity positions are in commodities, so I think I would also benefit from that at least initially. But in some of the non-commodity equities, I might tailor back my positions a little bit if the commodities are very strong. And the one to watch again, of course, is crude oil. That incidentally, it's 88.37 on the NYMEX crude here today. So that's pretty much it. An interesting environment overall, lots of opportunities. I'll be very interested to see what happens when the USDA gives its, or following the USDA report tomorrow. Expect a little action in the grain and bean complex. And on that note, all the best to all of you.